Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
This isn't something I expected to see, but from The Guardian, we have a Christian think tank that is reporting on a sharp rise, not just a rise, but a sharp rise of exorcisms in the United Kingdom. We think of the United Kingdom as being a very secularized society. It has a state church, yes, but church attendance is, well, zero practically. And we think about it being an increasingly liberalized society as well, and yet a sharp rise in exorcisms. Now, what is meant by exorcism is, well, that's the question that remains open for the time being. And there's a connection, of course, to spiritual abuse. This spiritual abuse Christian think tank is concerned about the potential for abuse there. We're going to be talking about this report and its potential for spiritual abuse, a proper understanding of scriptural exorcism. Joining us to do so on this Friday afternoon, July the 7th, Dr. Robert Bennett. He's a regular guest, executive director of Luther Academy. He's adjunct professor of missiology, international missions specialist at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And he's author of several books. One, Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America, and I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. Dr. Bennett, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
It's great to be back, Todd.
We're going to talk about legitimate scriptural exorcism in a moment, but does this Christian think tank concerned about spiritual abuse have a point that the idea of exorcism can have a connection to spiritual abuse in the church?
Oh, absolutely. They have a very strong point. Whenever I talk on the topic, I always set out two things we must avoid always. That's over-spiritualizing things, finding the devil under every rock, every disease, every sickness. And second is to simply not believe the devil is active and continues to be active in the world. So we always have to be very cautious of both those points. The article that you're referring to, it takes a small look, actually quite a small look, when you look at the greater report that was written. The news article seemed to pull out just a few of the various sections, but it takes a small look, and it just reminds the readers, in light of the bigger topic of mental health and how the church is involved, that these are things that we need to be very cautious of, that basically those same two points that I make all of the time. When we stop to realize that God is in control of this world, that God provides us with wonderful vocations in this world of medicine and mental health and doctors, nurses, who are all there as God's hands, God's mass, as Luther might say, to do God's will and to care for us.
So how would you explain the rise, at least for the demand of this kind of spiritual deliverance that is associated with exorcism, at least the term exorcism, that the study being reported on finds? How would you explain the rise?
I think the rise is simply as people in the West continue to leave the church and find what they describe as their own forms of spirituality, we're finding more and more people being led back into the spiritual traps of the past. I mean, the devil is always very happy to jump in and take any opportunity that we might give him. But at the same time, we have to recognize that mental illness is a real thing, and there's wonderful ways that I'm sure all the listeners, and us included, have had friends and family members that were wonderfully served by mental health and the various medications that are out there.
Can you just explore that for a moment with us? Is there a connection? It seems to be evidenced in some cases by the data of this study. Is there a connection between mental health and what we would call spiritual assault or spiritual warfare?
Sure. I think the connection goes back to that similar connection we find with all of the difficulties related to sin in the world and within ourselves. as a result of sin, everything there is a spiritual connection to. I mean, if we get sick, that's a spiritual connection. It's a symptom that that we're going to die, to be so blunt. But nevertheless, the devil works in ways of weakness. And so if somebody has a mental health issue, it opens them up to the possibility of the devil coming and causing additional harm. But the same thing goes for if someone loses their job and finds themselves, you know, desperate in life or through any of the various possibilities that could happen to us in life. The devil simply is looking for those weaknesses, and mental illness or even physical illness is one of those weaknesses the devil tries to come in and have his way with.
So what kind of concerns do you have as someone who has studied and researched and written about exorcism and spiritual warfare? What kind of concerns are raised for you by not only the data of the study, but in some cases, some of the things being reported on people who are making promises of exorcism and healing under the auspices of spiritual warfare?
Sure. And the real problem comes in there when people are really kind of excluding those means that God has provided and pointing to exorcism as a very strange, sometimes ritual in itself. When I've written on the topic multiple times, I've always kind of pointed out that exorcism is taking place around us all the time. Exorcism is when we hear the word of God, Satan flees. When we receive the absolution of our sins, when we receive the body and blood of the Lord, baptism. So exorcism in the right sense is taking place all of the time. The problem we have in our society is they're over-spiritualizing, they're making a very special spectacle, show over substance, you could say, of something that's a real problem, but is being dealt with in very haphazard and unbeneficial ways.
How should we understand the condition for which the church has applied exorcism traditionally? Sometimes it's called demonic oppression or possession. How should we rightly understand that condition, especially in light of the rise of exorcisms in the modern era?
I think one of the things that we really have to be doing is catechizing people of what it is that's taking place in the divine service. What is this taking place when we're receiving these various gifts of God? Especially, and most important, the presence of God, the presence that Jesus is there with us in those means in which he has provided. And there is the strongest exorcistic value that we will find in this life. To be sure, under circumstances where people are severely oppressed or even on the rare occasions of possession, something more specifically is done. But it's not something new. It's a very clear command to be gone in the name of Jesus, in the name of that one who is there in the midst of his word, in the midst of his sacraments. And so it takes on a more particular perspective, much like confession and absolution does. When we hear the absolution of our sins individually, it's very specific to us. But yet, nevertheless, we're always receiving absolution in the Word of God, as the gospel is proclaimed to us. So it's taking something that's very common to us and making it very specific to the individual. That's the way I think we need to look at this. When we start to bring in various rituals and artifacts and things like that, we're really somewhat playing into Satan's game. And I'm afraid that that's what's happening in a lot of these cases where people are looking for the spiritual help and they're finding a whole host of people out there who are so-called spiritual experts that come with really pagan and occult practices and put them off as Christianity.
So what specifically do you mean by that, pagan and occult practices that have found their way into some Christian rituals of exorcism?
Sure. You know, with the modern-day deliverance ministries, what they do is they say that they are able to force the demon to speak to them without lying. And then they take whatever data is given to them and they put that into play for how they need to remove a demon. For instance, some of the stuff is very common within Roman Catholicism as well. You know, you must determine the name of the demon. You must determine the time the demon entered, or various religious objects will show forth the demon. And really, all of this is really kind of crazy. It's moving us into the realm of idol worship and false theology, rather than sticking with the simple word of God. As Jesus is outdoing the exorcisms, the many exorcisms of his ministry, including sending his apostles out, they're going out simply saying, in the name of Jesus, be gone, as ones who have been called to speak in that behalf.
You have, in previous conversations, kind of summed up biblical exorcism as, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, is simply the proclamation of Christ's presence.
That's, I think, the clearest way to look at exorcism. There's only one exorcist, and that's Jesus. It's not spiritually well-endowed characters roaming from place to place. Even the apostles themselves, they had to be reminded a number of times that, you know, these things come out with prayer and fasting, specifically with trusting in the one who has the power and asking for the one who has the power, Jesus, to be the one who would remove the influences of Satan and Satan and his demons. And so it's very specifically connected to the presence of Jesus. And that's what's so wonderful about our Lutheran understanding of the Word and the sacraments, even of the liturgy, that Christ is there in our presence, the one who holds all things together, the one who can simply remove Satan with a word, one simple word. And I think we experience these wonderful gifts of God all the time, but we don't recognize the deeper value. Indeed, the deepest value is the forgiveness of our sins, but along with that is all that comes with that forgiveness, freedom from sin, death, and the devil.
This is where the complications come in, and that's why I asked you the question earlier about the nexus between psychological problems, mental illness, and spiritual warfare, because the presence of Christ, and I'm sure that you've witnessed this or read about this in your research, the presence of Christ drives Satan forth, but that doesn't mean that the person is necessarily completely delivered, but that doesn't mean the effects of sin disappear in their lives.
Oh,
talk about that.
Absolutely not. We continue to struggle with sin throughout our entire life. Every one of us do. Indeed, there's certain sins that just plague us as individuals. And so it's something we have to recognize is still a part of this world. Christ promises us that on the day of the resurrection, our baptisms will then be complete and we will be completely holy as he is holy. Until that time, we're living under an alien righteousness, that is, we are justified, but Christ is the one who's justifying us. It's his righteousness that we're living under. So at the same time that we are justified, we still remain and sinners in our very being. And so it's very important that we remember that contrast.
We're talking about a report from a Christian think tank on an increase in exorcisms in the United Kingdom. Dr. Robert Bennett is our guest. He is author of the books Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America, and I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. You'll find a link to these books at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Afraid and I Am Not Afraid, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Stay tuned.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people, by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Robert Bennett is our guest. We're talking about a report from a Christian think tank on an increase in exorcisms in the United Kingdom. Dr. Bennett, before the break, you were talking about the nexus between the spiritual, the physical, the psychological at some length. Does this mean that the church ought to vigorously apply those, or at least make available what we would call those first article gifts of psychiatry, psychology, and medicine for those who are under a particular spiritual oppression?
Absolutely. And that's what's interesting is the Globe article that generated this conversation really kind of takes the Christianity and mental health report out of context a bit. Because the whole focus of that report is saying that the church needs to be more involved within this mental care, more involved with working with psychiatrists and psychologists and doctors, not less involved. So the article makes it seem as if maybe too much of this is going on. Well, when you read the full report, they warn about this going on, but at the same time, they're asking questions of how can the church rightfully get involved in these issues. And the greater issue, and I'm not just talking about demon possession or oppression, but the greater issues of mental health in the world. And indeed, it's a major issue.
So if you would just talk about what you have witnessed and what your research has shown you, in particular, in kind of what we would call the foreign mission field, although they certainly wouldn't view it as a foreign mission field, Lutherans in Madagascar and elsewhere, where exorcism, where they seem to have a very simple and biblical understanding of exorcism in their very, very pagan context.
Right, and the explanation is simply that. It's the liturgy lived out in the lives of the people. It's the forms of exorcism are simply preaching on biblical texts, praying the Lord's Prayer, praying that the Lord would free this individual from the wiles of Satan, baptism, all the things that are so common within our understanding. But the difference is they recognize that Christ is there and has that authority and power. And it's not just in the strange mission fields. I talk to pastors weekly who are dealing with these issues in their congregations. Most of the time, it's oppression. It's things happening to individuals in their homes and likewise. But this is very common in our cases as well. So we shouldn't think of it as just over there. It's something that's taking place here as well. And I think we'll see more of it as people continue to leave the churches for their own forms of spirituality. Because really what that does is leading them back to this form of animism, or even very similar to aspects of traditional worship that you would find in these places like Madagascar and Africa and Asia and South America and so forth.
Would you say that there is a coincidence, at the very least, between those forms of worship that are, we would call them spiritualist or spiritism, ancestor worship, and the increased oppression by dark spiritual forces?
Oh, absolutely, because once again, the devil is going to take advantage of any opportunity that he has. And so if you're involved in a spiritualistic type of religion or forming one for yourself, you're leaving that safety of the Word of God, and you're creating for yourself, really, your own religion. And as you do that, you're really just falling back into the old forms of paganism. It's really true with this as anything else. There's really nothing new under the sun. We give it new names. But nevertheless, as we open ourselves up to these problems, the devil is sure to take advantage of it.
Coming back to where you kind of began with this, does that mean that a Christian who says, wow, I never thought of spiritual oppression in these terms, I guess I always just thought it was like the movies, and as long as someone wasn't, you know, levitating, I didn't have to worry about it. Should the Christian then be fearful of such things?
The Christian should never be fearful of such things, and that's another important aspect of it. The movies and the really the unhelpful theology and the deliverance ministries out there, they cause fear. The Christian should be completely at home in their baptism, that Christ has placed his name upon them, that is there and continues to remain there. I am baptized. Or as Luther would remind us, Christ, if I've committed more sins than 1,000 worlds, so let it be. Go bother somebody else. I am baptized. Christ's death is far greater. And the Christian should never be afraid of these things. The only time fear comes in is when a Christian doesn't recognize the benefit, the power, the presence of Jesus in their lives, and especially in the gift that he has promised that he would be there for them in. And if we have that sense, if we have that freedom, we've already been rescued from sin, death, and the devil, and there's really nothing left in this world to bring us any fear.
There's something that I think is found in a vestigial form in that stereotypical, and it's even stereotypical and a misreading of the Roman Catholic rite of exorcism, but it's what most people think of. There is a sacramental connection to spiritual warfare that the rite of Rome readily recognizes, and sadly, many Christians out there trying to kind of go it on their own against the devil deny. Talk about the role of the sacraments in spiritual warfare.
Well, I'm not quite sure what you're meaning with the Roman Catholic Church, but I'll deal with what we understand, that sacraments are there with the promise of forgiveness and life, that, I'm reminded, I think it's 1 John, the reason the Son of God came was to destroy the works of the devil. So in the midst of those things that Christ has given us, he's continually destroying the works of the devil. Now, the Roman Catholic rite of exorcism, while you're right, it is misused and misrepresented in many ways, it still has many difficult things in it that I would also find adding to the problem rather than helping the problem.
So can a Christian regard remembrance of baptism, hearing the absolution in the divine service, hearing the word of God preached, the study of God's word, the reception of Christ's body and blood, all of these things as part and parcel of what we should rightly understand as exorcism?
Absolutely. That's one of the points I make when I visit congregations. I said, who here's ever had an exorcism? Of course, nobody raises their hand. And I say, okay, who here's been baptized? All the hands go up. Who here's prayed the Lord's Prayer? That's an exorcistic prayer, evening and morning prayer of Luther's Catechism. Who here's been part of the liturgy? Who's here heard the gospel? All of these things are exorcistic. They're not the way we've been kind of taught to think about them through the media and television and even through some of the medieval practices, but they're exactly how Luther viewed them.
The picture then that one would get for a Christian who is faithfully receiving God's preaching and sacraments is, I would think, the devil would be constantly on the run.
Well, that would be true. However, we have churches, it's sad to say, and people in those churches, that while they have that benefit, they don't recognize the lies when they come to them from Satan. I wrote about it in the Afraid book. Exorcism is 90% catechesis and 10% exorcism. So the Christian needs to know what that means that they're baptized. The Christian needs to know what it means that they're forgiven, that their sins are cast from the east and the west. Because what that does is it unravels, while they may not have to worry about being possessed, Nevertheless, the Satan is always there and his demons seeking to cause us harm, to lead us away from the true faith. And by understanding who we are in Christ and who Christ is in our midst, at that point, that's what makes the real difference. And so Christians may go to church every Sunday, but nevertheless, they might find themselves dealing with some type of spiritual problem like we're talking about most of the time because they don't simply realize who they are, who Christ is, and they don't need to be afraid. They're put into a realm of fear that they simply don't need to be in.
Before we let you go, I would like you to tell us a little bit about Luther Academy.
Luther Academy continues to work strong, producing theological books. We've got, just about ready to be released, the second volume of our Kurt Marquardt series. This is his dogmatic and doctrinal works. All of these are things that are hard to find, published in obscure journals or never published at all or things like that. That's about ready to come out. We're really getting close to putting out our professional dogmatics volume on Holy Scripture. Jack Kilcrease has written that. We're still going through the editorial process, but getting very quick. Conferences in Africa and Asia and South America and Europe and just about everywhere.
Folks, I highly recommend that you check out the great work of Luther Academy at lutheracademy.com, and you should be sure to request their free email newsletter, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy. Dr. Robert Bennett is Executive Director of Luther Academy, Adjunct Professor of Missiology and International Missions Specialist at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the books Afraid, Demon Possession, and Spiritual Warfare in America, and I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. Dr. Bennett, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
In hour two of Issues, Etc., Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is going to join us, talk about a new study on extramarital sex among older Americans. Actually, they are outstripping their younger counterparts in that particular department. We'll talk about progressivism and religion and how they are fundamentally incompatible with Alexandra DeSantis of the National Review Institute. And then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Stay tuned for Hour 2 of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.